chapter 43.
It's an honor to be here with you. Thank you for letting us come. We've been trying to tune in and watch the services, and we appreciate the word of God. I just want to share something with you that the Lord just kind of nudged our hearts with a couple of weeks ago in our personal study, and I pray that it'll be a help to you. Won't take much time. Get out of the way, and we'll hear what the man of God has for us. If you'd like to stand, Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to pick up our reading in verse number 10. Of course, those of you that know your Bibles, at the end of chapter 42, Israel's in trouble. We know the Babylonian captivity. God allowed the Chaldeans to come, carry them off. I never realized the book of Lamentations was so graphic about what the children of Israel went through in that Babylonian captivity. And so they're in a mess. But I want to pick up the reading in verse number 10. And in verse number 10, of course, Isaiah is the human penman, but God has his hand on his servant. And he said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." And I want to get to verse 13 as fast as we can. "Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ships." For the fifth time in our text, he says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I ask that you pray for us. I was reading M.R. Dehon one time in his little book on broken things, and he talked about how that man throws away broken things as useless, where God takes broken things and uses them greatly in his ministry. And in this phrase, it's in verse number 13, "Yea, before the day was." And I got to thinking, you know, in days of our lives, and I'm praying that the Lord would remind us maybe of a day that come in our life where we need to be, where we needed to be reminded that he was God and that he doesn't change and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I got to thinking about, you know, when the S-U-N arose that morning on sorrows and pain, but yet the S-O-N revealed his help for any situation throughout the Word of God. In verse number 10, we see that our sovereign is revealed. He said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." That's a call, a summons, if you will. That word witnesses, it means you've been subpoenaed. God wants to talk to you and I. He is summoning you and I to his courtship, if you will. He talks about us being chosen servants. He said, "And my servant whom I have chosen." We know that means accepted and selected. And we understand that God didn't have to have us, but we had to have God. And there was a time I did not love God, but God loved me. And he's given us the promise that he will care for his own. Even though there's a chapter 42 in our life, even though there's faults and failures and shortcomings, and at the end of verse number 10, and there's a lot of preaching that I'm going to have to kind of push aside, but at the end of verse number 10, he said that ye may know and believe me. Not believe in me, but believe me and understand that I am he. Now he said that ye may know. That means to learn by seeing. And believe me. Not believe in me, but believe me. And there are times when days, Brother Scott, will arise that I just have to be honest. Sometimes it gets hard to believe. To believe the word of God. To believe the way. You know, is this just how we've been raised up? My daddy was a preacher. My brother was a preacher. My grandfather on my mother's side was a preacher. On my daddy's side, there was lot of Church of God. My mama may have been a preacher on that side. I don't know. But is this just what we've always done? You know, those times, I may be the only one, but sometimes it does get hard not to believe in him. I'm free. You sang that song. When I first got saved, my brother gave me a cassette of the Corbett singing that song. Some of y'all don't even know what a cassette is. It was a 90-minute cassette, and for 45 minutes, Big Brother James played, and they sung, and they shouted, and I am glad that I am free. This one thing, I may not know, like that old blind boy, I may not know this, and I may not know much, but I know God saved me, and he changed my life. I'm not talking about doubting, believing in him, but he said that you may know and understand. Believe me and understand. The word understands, it means to separate mentally. It means to distinguish the difference. Hey, our minds can get messed up. Our minds can get clouded when the day arrives. Mm-hmm. There's a claim that stands at the end of verse number 10. Before me there was no God. Mm-hmm. Revelation 1, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. Yeah. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Yep. Hey, when the day arrives, don't run from God. Yep. Try to find God. And when you can't find God, trust God will find you. Yep. Don't give up on God when the day arrives. Don't give in to the things of the world. He's telling us five times, I am the Lord. Yep. The sovereign's revealed. In verse number 11, he reminds us he's our Savior and Redeemer. They say that's a repetitious pronoun, I, even I. And they say when that happens, that means it's a strong statement, an emphatic statement, an enduring statement. He said, I, even I, am the Lord. He said, and beside me there is no Savior. That word Savior means deliverer. It means defender. It means helper. It means rescuer. It means preserver. He's every bit of that and so much more. God has been everything that he ever said he would be and so much more. And it's as if he is having to constantly remind them that he is who he said he was. But I'm going to tell you, when that day arrives in your life, you and I may need to be the one that needs to be reminded that everything that he ever said is true and it's right. Verse number 12, we see a showed revelation. In verse number 12, I have declared. They say that means he announced and predicted future events, and they all came true. He warned of dangers. He warned Israel about serving them little G gods and the trouble it got them into. He declared it meant he marked out a path of safety. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We've been studying Psalms 37 and using the catalyst verse where David said, I have been young and I'm now old, and we're listening to some life lessons from an old man. He's getting ready to make the crossing, and he understands that the steps of a good man, they were ordered, they were laid out. The writer said, I have declared, God has declared, and have saved. He delivered Israel time and time and time again. And he said, I have showed. And I'm just saying right there, he's telling us that he's been everything that he ever said he would be.
Amen.
And so much more. And then he said, when there was no strange God, little g among you. That's when they got in trouble. And then at the end of verse number 12, he said, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. In verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12, three times he reminds them that he's still God. And there may come a day where you and I need to be reminded, not believing in God, but believing God, that we can believe God when the day arrives.
Sure.
In verse number 14, and I won't say much about this. I understand who all's here this morning. You understand God sent Cyrus. Yeah. And we thought Trump was Cyrus, if we'll just be honest. And that God was going to send Cyrus, and he was a heathen, and he didn't know God. He had an agenda against the Babylonians, and God let him go in and overthrow it. But as I was reading, Brother Tom, about this cry that's in their ships, history said that the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, had upward of 3,000 ships. They had very strong commerce and defense on the river Euphrates. History also
also says that Cyrus dammed up the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, and it left that great fleet on dry ground. Hey, I'm glad God can dam up the situation. He can turn the tide. He can leave the enemy high and dry. Hey, God let Cyrus go in, and the things that the Babylonians trusted in, God rendered them useless. He rendered them useless and protected his people.
Yes.
In verse 15, there's a sounding, resounding, if you will. He said, I am, in verse 15, I am the Lord. I'm glad I got a God that speaks to me.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I am the Lord, your Holy One. And he's never going to cease to be holy. And he desires you and I to be holy.
Yes.
And then he reminds them, the Creator of Israel. And that's back in verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel. He's constantly reminding them and reminding them and reminding them that he is who he says he is. Why? I mean, just in my simple mentality, why does he have to keep reminding the people of God who he is? Look at verse number 13. There's a solemn reality. I've got a lot of things wrote down on paper here, and then I got other things that are wrote in my mind, and I got others that are etched in my heart. And I'm praying for just a few moments before the man of God comes that the Lord may allow you and I to visit a day when your world changed, when your life changed. I mean, that 70 years of Babylonian captivity, those that were 20 years old, they're 90 when they come out. Those that were 10, they're 80. There were some that were born in. They just thought that's the way it had always been. There was a bad day come in their life. And boy, when I was reading this, you know how the Bible jumps off the pages of the scripture into your heart. And I heard the Holy Ghost in verse number 3 say, yea, before the day was, I am he. I want to say right there, there's an arrival of the day. There's only 24 hours in a day, they say, but how long a day can be. The day when the sun rose, I mean, it's just like any other day, but it arose on sorrows, and you wonder, would it ever end, and could it ever come to an end, and how in the world did this ever happen, and your spirit and your senses are shattered, and you didn't choose it, but God enrolled you. He signed you up in a school of suffering to show you to you, and to show him to who we are, to us, about who he is.
Yeah, right. Amen.
There's an arrival of the day tragedy arose in your life, the day tears arrived. You know, it's always different when it comes to your house.
Yeah.
It's always different when it backs up in Burnsville,
right,
and it's in my house. The day when tragedy, tears, the torment. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, torment? And we just sung about there's no fear tomorrow. When I'm trusting him, when I'm believing him, not believing in him, but believing the good word of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's days that can arise when it'll cause concern and questions. And what are we going to do? And how are we going to do it? That's why 5 times he reminded us, I am God. I am. I am. I am. I'm everything I said I would be. You can trust Jesus.
Yeah.
You can trust Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When sorrows wrapped you and they wouldn't let go. When sin ravished your life or your family's life. You asked for prayer requests before we prayed, and I should have mentioned my oldest son. He needs God to work in his life.
Yes, sir.
We've raised him around church. They've heard the greatest preachers that's ever breathed there. And it was always different when it was another preacher. And I tried to pray and empathize. I think that's the right word. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to your house,
you're telling right.
Yeah.
Where did I fail? I feel failure. What could I have done? What should I have done? Should I have kept him in? Should I have done? And these are the things about the day. When the day arrives, the arrival of the day, there's the shattering. And when it comes to your place, And I don't have sad stories to tell you. I didn't come here to be doom and gloom. I'm just trying to get our minds around the day.
Yes, sir.
There was a day when my brother left this world.
You tell it, preacher.
And it's just true. I mean, it's just the way it is. And he was not in the will of God. There's a lot of young preachers coming up, and he preached the word of God. He was a man of God. But that was not the way to leave.
Right.
That was the way to leave. He'd be gone. That was not the right way to leave.
Yes.
But there was a day. That you talk about a day.
Yeah.
How do you tell people? What was I going to tell my mother? How do you answer questions? There's going to be so many questions. I remember when my wife, she was carrying that little boy between my oldest and my next son. And she miscarried and she held that little boy. You talk about singing a song. She held him in the palm of her hand. But there was no life. He was stillborn. There was an arrival of a day. One of the dearest saints of God, she called me when that happened. And she said, Jimbo, don't you go back to the world. And that kind of hurt my heart because I already know what the world's got to offer. I lived in it 28 years. The day arose. The day arrived. And if you allow those days to draw you to him, there's places he can take you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And things that he can show you that you've never seen.
Yes, sir. Good preaching, brother.
You ever had a day when God divinely rearranged your life?
Oh, yes, sir.
And we get to heaven, I know, we get to heaven and people talk about, you know, I'm going to ask God why he did this. He ain't going to tell you. And we probably ain't going to ask.
Right. You're right.
Because he's going to take that divine handkerchief and he's going to wipe away all the former things. He's not going to explain. Hey, he didn't call me the night before and say, okay, Jimbo, we're getting ready to rearrange your world. Hey, you're going to wake up and get a call while you're in Florida that's going to shatter you like Elijah and Elisha. Hey, Jimbo, I just want you to know that heartbeat that's in your wife. He didn't call. He didn't ask permission. I want to say the divine providence of God. Sometimes it's painful.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's painful.
Yeah. Sure.
But I'm glad God is who he said he was.
Amen.
The Bible said before the day was, I am he.
Yeah. Amen.
I am. Before the day. One man said before there ever was a day. Before the first day, before Genesis 1:1, before time was, before eternity past to eternity present, before there ever was a day when you were just going about your day and it was smiles and work and laughter and just whatever. But then the clock struck 12 and it was a divine appointment that you had with God Almighty. And reality. What else could he say to help us? Before the day was, I am he.
Amen.
Now, I don't know a lot, but I don't try to ride the ignorance train. I try to read. They say I am is past, and it's present, and it's future.
Yes, sir.
I am before the day. I am during the day.
Yeah.
And I am after the day. And I want to tell you, there will be an after the day.
Yeah.
There will be another side of the valley.
Yeah.
There will be another mountain peak to climb. Hey, that's the little thought that I want to leave with you. Hey, God has something still for you. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before the day, during the day, and then going on beyond the day. I am he. I am he that'll never leave. I am he that'll never forsake. I am he that'll go with you all the way, even to the end. I am he that sticketh closer than a brother. I am he whose grace is sufficient. I am he in your yesterday, in your today, in your tomorrow. Now here's what I've never been able to come to grips with. He knew what was going to happen. And he didn't stop it.
Yes, sir.
And I still, there's no use to lie. I still get a little cross at him sometimes. He knew, but he didn't stop it. He knew, but I'm going to tell you this, and we can all say amen. He drew close. And when he didn't give answers, he gave himself.
Yeah.
There's an arrival of the day. There's an afforded delight. I am he. But then there's I draw attention to that word deliver. He said, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Now that word deliver, I didn't know this. It meant to snatch away.
Yeah.
There is none that can deliver. There's none that can snatch away. Have you ever felt like this time is the last time? But all I know to tell you about that right there is, do you remember when you thought it was the last time? But yet here you said, after COVID, after everything, after the election, after everything that's happened in our lives, we're still here. Yes. God is still God. He's done everything that he has. Hey, there ain't no, that ain't right English, but there ain't nobody.
Yes.
And snatch us away.
Lord of God.
Yeah. Up there where I live in the mountains, they think you can be saved and not saved and saved and not saved and saved. He's not talking about, he's talking about literally snatching us out of his hand.
Yes, right.
There is none. I thought about this when you thought this time was the last time. When you were going down, you thought it was the last time. The feeling of being overwhelmed. David talked so much about that in the Psalms, of anxieties, of feeling overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that's higher than that. Worries and fears. And it feels like they're pulling on you. They're pulling. And they're pulling you farther than you've ever been. That's probably when we're the most Christ-like.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because Jesus knew what it was to go a little farther.
Sure.
Thank the Lord. He's everything that he said he would be.
Yes.
There's attention to that word deliver. No one can snatch us out of his hand. But then there's God's accomplished designs. He said, I will work.
Sure.
In the arrival of your day, when the day comes, and it wasn't a day we asked for, signed up for, he reminds us that I am he. There's none that can snatch us away, can deliver out of his hand. And then another word of encouragement is, I will work.
Yeah, amen.
Right there is where I wrote down God's providence at times is painful. His purposes are as he pleases. He don't call me and check in with me before these days arise. Even God's pleasure in performing. But in the midst of the day, when the day does come, he reminds us that God is with us and that God is for us and that God is still working in us. Somebody said this, that today is yesterday's tomorrow. We made it through another day by the good grace of God. Now watch this last statement. He said, and who shall let it? Who shall let it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm from East Tennessee, and we talk a little different over there, and I'm up in the mountains now. But what does that mean, who shall let it? Well, that word let, it means that it's 7725 if Strong's is right, and it means to turn it back. It means to hinder. It means to stop it. He said, I will work, and who shall turn it back? Who shall stop it? Who shall hinder it? Albert Barnes said, there is no one man or devil that can turn it back, that can hinder it, that can stop it. And then he made the statement, how can the feeble arm of the creature resist the Creator? I'm not correcting Albert Barnes, but God told us five times, I am he.
Sure.
You know, you know who I think might be able to let it, to hinder it, to turn it back? I believe it could be you and I.
Yeah.
If the day that arrives in your life is the final day, it'll be because we choose it to be.
Oh, that's good.
There's places in your... Do you not remember the day? And you didn't see 2021. You didn't see coming back to the pulpit again. You didn't see getting in the choir again. You didn't see going to the Sunday. I mean, the song was stripped out of your heart. You didn't see. God still has things for us.
Amen.
Think about where we would not get to go had we chose for that day to be the last day. God took 27 words in one verse to comfort us, to challenge us and warn us and prepare us when the day arrives. Watch this and I'm done. And y'all may have heard it, but it's new to me and I'm going to share it with you. At the end of verse number 15, he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I got that truck up there, that Ford truck, it's got this Sirius thing on it. And it ain't S-E-R, it ain't that kind. It's got everything in the world on it. It's got football, and I don't listen to football no more because Tennessee's like Jesus. They're coming back, but we just don't know when. But I found Billy Graham on there, 460. Brother Sammy Allen, he always talked about Billy Graham in his younger days being molded as America's evangelist. The oldest I've found so far is 1949. Him, you talking about preaching? And I don't know where it was he changed, but you talking about preaching. He's calling names. I'm going to tell you, there ain't many other preachers set with world officials. Had Madison Square Garden meetings for 16 weeks. But he told an illustration. And I'm telling you, I told our church how just helpful it was. And you may have heard it, but just enjoy it with me again. He told this illustration, I think it was 1951 or two. And he told this illustration of some people going into a museum. And as they go into the museum, the man that's leading that group, he sees this picture. There's a picture up here. And it looks like somebody took a 5-gallon bucket and threw it up there and talked about the abstracts and the shadows. And it's $500,000 and all of that. And he told about that. And then they come over here to this one, and he tells about the artist and where they were at, what they were trying to portray behind the portrait. And then he comes over here to this one, and over here it's a chess match. And you got a chess board, and evidently the artist had painted supposedly Satan on one side and a young man on this side. And they're playing chess, I don't know much about checkers, let alone chess, but it's a chess match. And evidently the way it all worked out, it looked like the young man had lost. And there was sweat coming down, and the way that his brow was painted, you know, you could just see the anguish that he had lost to the devil, to Satan. And I forget what the title was. I actually looked it up online. It is a true story. You know, a lot of times preaching ain't true. Preachers will say, no, I ain't preaching right now, I'm telling the truth. I looked that up, and it is an actual portrait. But they said in that group that was going through that art museum that there was a professional chess player. And as he was going through, that caught his eye. He told the young man that was with him, he said, go out there in the vehicle. And he said, get my chess board, bring my chess men people in. And he said, set it up just like it is in that portrait. And he begins to set it up. And he begins to walk around. And he looks. And he goes on this side and he looks. And people are starting to gather around. And they're curious about what he was doing. And he's looking, Brother Scott. And finally, he just stops. And when he stops, it dawns on him. And he walks over here to that picture. And he said, son, he said, your king has got one more move. And I'm going to tell you, when he said that, I went back to our people and I told mamas that are fretting over prodigals. I told Jimbo that's fretting over a prodigal. Your king has, that's how he signed off in verse 10. I am your God, your Holy One, and I am your king. Hey, preacher, your king's got one more move. Hey, pastor, don't give up. Don't give in just because a day has arrived. Your king, my king, let's not let him hinder him, stop him. There's still things he can still do.
Amen.
I'm done, Pastor. You come. You may feel this is final, and I'm not going to browbeat you over that. But it'll be final if you choose it to be. Because your king, our king, their king, had one more move. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand. Touch the man of God that's getting ready to break the bread of life and feed us this morning. Lord,